grenade launchers.
Didn't have anything like that. The chance of them succeeding in bringing this wall down, it wasn't just improbable. It wasn't just unlikely. It wasn't even like one in a million. You know, I'm not telling you there's a chance. There's nothing. It was impossible. It wasn't going to happen. And yet the command from God was, and the command from Joshua to the people was, see. Yeah? See. He says, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. I don't know what wall you're facing this morning, but can you see that God has brought it down? It might still be there. It might still be in front of you, but can you see with the eye of faith that God has brought it down? See, it's the same command that God gave to Abraham when he first told him about the promised land. He took him up on the mountain, he said, see. Look everywhere you see. I'm giving you new possession. God told him to walk around the city. Again, that's a very similar command that he gave to Abraham to walk the length and the breadth of the land. That's the kind of thing you did back in ancient times to actually mark your territory. You'd walk around it, kind of telling everyone, this is mine now. Yeah? So they walk around the city. The wall's still there, but they're walking around and just basically telling everyone inside, this is ours now. You might have a wall there, but it's ours. We own it. And then finally, as they've walked around it seven times on the seventh day, Joshua gives them that command. He said, shout, not so that God will give you the city. Not shout to twist God's arm. Not shout to manipulate God. Not shout to convince him. Not even shout to convince yourself. Shout because the Lord has given you the city. Amen? You know, we've talked, and you hear so many times, we send the musicians and the singers out first into battle. We send them out first. I want to tell you, we praise and we sing first, not to convince God that he should come and hang out with us today. Not to convince God to let us into his presence. Not to convince God that he should come and perform some miracles. Shout louder so that God will perform. That's what the prophets of Baal had to do. You know how Elijah mocked them? He said, sing louder, shout louder. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's gone on holidays. Maybe he's in Bali. Maybe he's on the beach, sipping whatever. Sing louder, shout louder. But we don't have to do that. We don't shout to make God move. We don't shout to twist God's arm. We shout because God has moved. God has given us the city. And we see that the walls have come down, and we praise and we shout and we sing in faith. Does that make sense to everyone this morning? You know, any dead fish can praise God after he's performed a miracle. Anyone can do that. It's a natural reaction. There's nothing wrong with doing it, but anyone can do it. It doesn't take faith to praise God after he's come through. But who praises God before the wall comes down? I pray for myself that my faith would mature to such a point that it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, I praise God the same every single day. Wouldn't that be good? And I pray that prayer for you this morning. The title of my message this morning is To Face a Giant. And I'm going to read from you from 1 Samuel chapter 17. I don't know if you know this story, but this is the story of David and Goliath. I'm preaching five sermons this morning. Is that all right? We've got to hurry up. To Face a Giant. And this is the one where, you know, where all the Israelites were camped on one side and the Philistines were camped on the other side. You might say Philistines. I don't know how it's pronounced, but we're going to get Philistines today, all right? We're just going for Philistines. I don't know how. But they're on that side and we're on this side, and there's a giant coming. And he stands in there for 40 days, and he's too big. He's too strong. Nobody can beat this guy. He's like three times the size. He's got a sword so heavy that hardly anyone can even lift it. And he taunts them for 40 days and everybody's scared. There's no way anybody can beat this giant. But David, he's just a shepherd boy. And he hears what's going on. And David convinces everyone that he should have a go. He convinces King Saul. He says, well, nobody else here will do it. Give me a go. And listen to what David says to Goliath. He says, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And all those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Now, if you know the story, it turns out David was pretty good with a slingshot, yeah? And David defeated the giant. And then David took the giant's sword and cut the giant's head off. And then it says that all the people of Israel found their faith and found their courage, and they pursued the Philistines and won a great victory that day. Isn't that awesome? Anyone can praise and find their faith after the victory's been won, yeah? But I pray for myself that I would find faith even when the giant's still standing. Amen? That I would confess like David confessed, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's, that it doesn't matter what wall is in front of me. It doesn't matter what giant is facing me. I would praise and sing and shout the same every single day. That's what I'm believing for. Because everybody can praise God and everybody can shout and sing after the giant's fallen. But who stands before the giant and says, "I'm not afraid of you"? The battle is the Lord's. The title of my message this morning is to feel the heat. We're running out of time. We've got to get through all these sermons. Just keep going to the prayer meeting. Daniel chapter 3. Who's heard of Shadrach, Meshach? And it's very difficult to pronounce this last name, isn't it? Abednego? Is that what we're saying? So it's not shake the bed, make the bed, and into bed we go? It's not that one. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And if you know the story, you know that King Nebuchadnezzar had, on consulting his advisors, had made this huge statue. And everybody was commanded that when the music played, you had to bow down and worship this statue. But here we have these three Israelite boys living in a foreign land, living in captivity. And they determined in their hearts, they're not going to bow down to this statue, yeah? Everybody else bowed down to the statue. But there was three young men who said, "We're not going to bow down." And when the king found out, he said, "Right, time to fire up the furnace. Time to throw these boys into the fire." And this is their reply. He says, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty." Isn't it nice that even as they're defying him, they're using the proper term, you know? "Even if we don't, you know, it doesn't work, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up." If you know the story, you know that they did indeed get thrown into the furnace. Yeah? But then the king Nebuchadnezzar said, "Oh, didn't we just throw three people in there? I can see a fourth. And the fourth is like the Son of God, you know? And they come out alive." And the Bible says, the king says, "Praise be." That's what he says. "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Their defiance and their stand led to praise, and it led to worship, and it led to breakthrough. But before that, everybody else bowed down. You know, when the heat can come in all sorts of ways. It can come in the workplace. It can come in relationships. It can come upon you financially. It can come upon you in many ways. It can come upon you politically. Yeah? That if you make a stand, the threat is the heat's going to come your way. How many bow down? Oh, I pray that my faith matures to the point where it doesn't matter what is threatened against me, what kind of heat is promised to come my way, that I can say, "I'll not bow down because my God is able to save." and deliver me from your hand. And even if he doesn't, I'm still not gonna bow down. Anybody can praise God after the heat is taken away. But who praises God and stands for God when the heat is coming? The title of my message today is to be trapped and outnumbered. I just thought if I preach 5 messages, you might remember one. You know what I mean? I get so discouraged on a Thursday. I say, what did you think of the sermon on Sunday? Oh, what did you preach again? You know, so I just think, I've got a 20, you know, 5 times the chance of somebody remembering something. To be trapped and outnumbered. You know, the one where the Israelites, they're delivered, the 10 plagues come and they flee Egypt and they're heading towards the promised land, but there's a problem. There's a big sea in the way. And apparently they weren't good swimmers. And they couldn't get across. There's no boats, there's no catamarans. The ferry service had been terminated the week before due to lack of staffing and COVID. It was outrageous. But they were there stuck. And here comes all the armies of Egypt with their chariots and their weapons and everything. And they've got nowhere to go. They are trapped and they are outnumbered. And this is when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were not graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. That's a great accusation, isn't it? Moses, the only reason you did all this is so that we could be buried out here and not out there. Thanks a lot, Moses. Listen to Moses' reply. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Some people need to read that 20 times a day. You shall hold your peace. If you know the end of the story, you know that there was a big, you know, parting of a sea. I think you've all heard this one, right? And the Israelites pass through on dry land. And Pharaoh and his armies try to pursue, but the waves come back and they all drown. And if you continue reading, on the other side, once the Israelites are safe, once their enemies have been defeated, they break into song. And you can actually read the lyrics of their songs that Miriam sings and other people sing, and they dance and they have the biggest party. But let's just backtrack to what they were saying before the ocean opened up. They were afraid. You've brought us out here to die. Only one person stood up and said, see the salvation of the Lord and hold your peace because he's going to win a great victory for us today. Oh, how I pray that my faith would mature, that when I am trapped and I am outnumbered, there are not complaints on my lips, there's not grumbling on my lips, but there are praises on my lips and there are songs coming out. Is this making sense to anyone this morning? And I pray the same for you today. The title of my message is to lay in chains. To lay in chains. I thought we must go New Testament at least once this morning, right? Paul and Silas, they weren't doing anything wrong. They were just preaching the gospel. How could God let anything bad happen to you when you're doing his will? Yeah? How could God ever let anything happen to you when all you're doing is preaching the gospel? Surely nothing in your life will ever go wrong if you're just doing the will of God. That's okay? No? All right. You'll never come under any attack, under any persecution. You'll wake up in the morning and you're always healthy and you're always strong and no one will ever accuse you of anything. No one will ever come against you. No one will ever bite back. It just everything will be perfect if you just serve God, right? Well, I don't know what happened here with Paul and Silas, but they were just preaching the gospel and healing people and helping people out. And all of a sudden, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. And I think I've said this before, but if you read in the Amplified, it says that they fastened them in uncomfortable positions. Fastened them in, I don't know, but they had just one blanket and they were pulling it all night, I don't know. In uncomfortable, no blanket. You ever felt like, or you've just been doing the right thing and all of a sudden you've been beaten, you've been abused, you've been attacked, you're shackled up? What's your response? The Bible says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and all the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaking. At once, all of the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I can imagine there was a lot of celebration. In fact, even the jailer was praising God and gave his life to Christ after this had happened. And great encouragement when this story was told went through all the region, and the Christians were greatly encouraged. But who was praising and who was singing at midnight in the jail when they were shackled up in an uncomfortable position? Oh, I pray that my faith would be mature enough that when I've been attacked and I've been imprisoned and I've had my freedoms taken or whatever it is, that you would find me praying and singing hymns to God. Even though maybe I hadn't even received a word from God that he was going to get me out like that, or I hadn't even seen or had a prophecy or whatever, that even if I could, even with my eye of faith, see no way out of it, that despite all that, you would still find me praising and singing hymns to God, because I just believe he's good. And I believe in his good nature and his kindness, that he never leaves and he never forsakes. And if my suffering in some way that I'm called to that, that that's my life, that in some way God would use that to advance the gospel for his name, and you would find me singing. And I pray the same for you this morning. Anybody can praise God after the miracle, amen? I do. Gosh, I do. But I'm praying for my faith to mature. That I could have had 10 miracles today or 10 challenges. You'll find the same shout in my heart. You'll find the same peace in my heart. You'll find the same smile in my face. Hey, does that mean I'll never grieve? No, I will grieve. This isn't a sermon against grief. This isn't a sermon that says you can't be sad at things that have happened in life, or you can't go through those things. That those are natural things. Faith isn't about what has happened to you. Faith is about what you're believing for tomorrow. Faith is about your future. Faith is about that it doesn't, despite what happens, God is still on the throne. Amen? That's what faith is. Now, I don't have to be a prophet to know that everybody here has got something. Maybe you've got a wall in front of you. Maybe you've been faced with a giant. Maybe the heat is coming. Maybe you're trapped and outnumbered. Maybe you've been beaten and you feel imprisoned. Is God still on the throne? Can you see through the eye of faith that God is going to win? That God is going to win. And even if it doesn't work out exactly how you think it's going to work out, you'll not bow down anyway. You'll go out praising and singing and shouting. That's why I thank Pastor Denise. It's exactly what I was going to preach on this morning. I didn't even tell her what I was going to preach on this morning. She's obviously bugging my phone, which is a horrible intrusion of privacy, but that's okay. I'm okay with it. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? We're going to sing. What are we singing?
Victory Shout.
Oh, we're singing Victory Shout. Okay, all right. We're going to sing Victory Shout. Now, are you waiting to see a victory before you raise a shout this morning? Or despite what's going on in your life, Can you conjure a shout? Amen?